The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. We have reached the final hour of the afternoon. It's been a good show. We hope you will stick around for the next hour. And let's get right back to the calls. We haven't heard from him for a couple of days. Legend is next.
Just got back from the doctor, Paul.
Tell us.
Yeah, I said, doctor, what's wrong with me? He said, legend, let me tell you like Ted Nugent said, you got cat scratch fever. He said, I had to dig so many of cat daddy's claws out of your ass. Legend, you like the dirt, boy, you like the dirt. Whew, but I survived, Paul. I survived, brother. I called my Aunt Mary in Maryland last night. She's a big fan of the show. She's also a big Georgetown Hoyas fan. And she said, I ain't seen an upset like that since Ed Pinckney and Raleigh Massimino beat George, beat Patrick Ewing in Georgetown.
80-85. Legend, one thing you don't want, and I apologize to you for having to be the bearer of bad news, but I've heard countless people say Legend really gave a great concession speech. That's not you.
No. But sometimes, Paul, sometimes when, you know, the fact of the matter is, my aunt said to me last night, she said, you know, you got to change. You know, when the people vote and they tell you you're no longer the champion, you got to change. And, you know, Paul, I thought to myself, she's right. I was too hard on the elf on the shelf, Paul. Hell, he's an inch taller than me. I mean, what am I short ass talking about the elf on the shelf? I mean, the dude's an inch taller than me, Paul. Come on.
Legend,
I
will give you my analysis. This is an outlier. And I say this objectively. Cat Daddy doesn't really bring much in terms of substance. He's a one-trick caller, and I think it was a change year, and you were victimized by it. And I'm not even sure the voting was legal. You might want to challenge the voting, by the way. But if you don't accept it and move on, I don't think it will ever happen again.
I was just having fun with it, Paul. You know, I ain't having no breakdown over no damn collar back.
Well, legend, you're about the only one in the contest that didn't, because some of the folks have gone crazy.
Oh man, it's all fun, man. Let me tell you something, Paul. I'm a veteran, man. I had a guy come up to me today and said, "I heard you quit the show." I said, "What show are you talking about? The Feinbaum Show." I said, listen, me and Paul done won so many championships. We like Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Come on, man. I don't care about that crap. But at least I made the final. I didn't even get beat by 38% like J.K. in the Sweet 16, by the legend. I didn't get beat in the Sweet 16 like Bill. Come on, man. I don't care nothing like that. It's all fun. But I will say this right here, Paul, before I change. I think I'll stay my old self just a minute and talk about a caller or two, if I could.
You know, I think that's a good way to get back to number one.
Hell yeah. Woo! Why so serious? Hey, let me say this about AJ. I heard you come on here, dude. Let me break it down to you. You know why Squirrel can say something to me and I don't take it personal? He's got Feinbaum street cred. You know what? Iron Man, Jim, these dudes can come on here and battle with me and Larry. They got Feinbaum street cred. You are a rookie, dude. You are a rookie running your mouth, and you're about to get pimp slapped by the veterans. Hell, dude, you couldn't even get in the bracket. You got in a play-in game, and you so damn sorry of a collar. They canceled the play-in game. That's how damn sorry of a damn caller you are, dude. Let me tell you something. When you said the four guys in the final are a bunch of has-been, I took that personal, not for me, but for the guys that have been committed in the Flying Bomb locker room for 15, 20 years, calling this show every day. You come on here acting like me every day, talking about me. Keep my name out of your mouth, rookie, before I tie you to the goalpost, stuff Larry's jockstrap in your mouth, and let you... You can crawl around like the little wannabe weasel that you really are. You're a rookie. You are a punk. Keep your mouth shut when it comes to the veteran Flying Bomb callers. You know, Paul, damn that change. Being bad is so much more fun.
Legend, right now, I would call for a recount if we hadn't already. Oh, by the way, AJ wants to say something to you.
I put any name in my mouth I want to. You has been, never will be again. You got jealous. Hey, it finally took you all these months, all these times to mention my name because I'm a threat to you, baby. You know good and well I'm here to take over. Pass the torch.
Hey, AJ, you're going to have to do better. AJ, you're going to have to do better than that for me to keep you on with Legend. I mean, Legend, I apologize.
Come on, dude. That was weak as hell,
I ran the guy
man.
After that. Do you agree with me, Randy? That was not, not even worthy.
That is weak as hell. That right there. You see, that shows you about the Auburn University right there talking about a freeze warning. Ain't no damn freeze warning. It's a freak warning down at Auburn, and that's the biggest freak right there ever to step his foot on the Flying Bomb show. AJ, the freaking Auburn freak. You are a freak and a disgrace to the War Eagle Nation, dude. So shut your damn mouth and sit your ass down. And again, rookie, stay your ass away from the veteran. Woo! Stay away! Or the monster in me may come out. And that would never be good. Why so serious, Paul? Why so serious?
That was the quickest takedown since Sonny Liston in the early 60s. I mean, he was gone. Yeah. Wow.
I love it, Paul.
Legend, that was like, remember, do you remember Tyson's prime? When
that was
yeah,
Tyson,
you
were
like 13
Michael
seconds. I mean, you hadn't even sat down yet. It was over.
That was Tyson and Spink. And I say again to all you rookie callers, I love y'all. I love you, Miss Pat, Susie Q. Y'all keep calling. But for these wannabe great callers like AJ and Dustin from Oklahoma, rookie, keep your damn mouth shut unless you raise your hand and somebody recognizes you. Legend has left the damn building.
Well, I have to give him credit. That was an amazing return after being dethroned. We'll take a short break. I'm sure AJ will call again, and I'll get a barf bag ready nearby. We'll chase good bread. We'll offer us some good meal, good conversation here in a moment before we get back to the craziness.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we will get back to the phone calls in just a moment, but this headline might take some getting used to. The headline of the Tuscaloosa News by Chase Goodbread. Nick Saban's Alabama football team's spring roster is youngest he's had, and it's not close. Some might say, well, maybe that's good. A lot of great young players from the best recruiting class of the year, but others would say in the SEC this could be very difficult. We'll ask the man who covers the team, Chase Goodbread, the sports columnist from Tuscaloosa, joining us. Chase, always great to have you on and explain to those of us who aren't around Alabama every day what this could mean.
Well, objectively, it's a good thing to have veteran experience, I'll say that. But at the same time, spring practice is the time for young players to get better, right? I mean, I can recall Bobby Bowden at Florida State, the legendary coach. He used to give fifth-year seniors the spring off, in part because, you know, they knew what they were doing after 4 or 5 years, and also in part because it kind of cleared the path a little bit for the coaching staff to get a better look at some younger players. But yeah, back to Alabama, it's a young group. Nick Saban is made a few comments this spring that kind of hint in that direction. You know, he said they got 26 mid-year players, 22 coming straight out of high school, another 4 who are either coming in from the portal or from junior college. So that's 26 players that are at least new to Alabama. And, you know, Saban at the beginning of the spring called it, you know, 1/3 of the spring roster that he's got to work with. And so I just decided to take a look back at it, Paul, and count up career starts for Alabama's spring roster for this year, last year, and a couple of other years. And it was a pretty stark contrast. I mean, there's 179 career starts on the books for players that are participating in spring practice right now. And, you know, the other years that I looked at, which I figured might be, you know, young seasons for or young springs for Alabama, were way above that. But, you know, like 50% above that, you know, in some cases, like maybe 270, 280 career starts. And so it's a young group for sure, and it's got to be a challenge for the coaching staff.
Chase, I realize it's you know, we're still a week or two away from the end of spring, and sometimes with what you have said, it may not be easy to get a great evaluation with so little time to look at young players. But what, if anything, are – I mean, I know sometimes the coaches' comments can be misleading, but what are you hearing around that place right now on what this – program could look like this fall?
You know, there's definitely a lot of excitement for some of the young players. Like you said, they've got the number one class in the country coming in. Most of them are already on campus, and that's a good thing for those guys, right? I mean, the ability to come in and contribute as a true freshman in the fall is enhanced a great deal when these guys decide to enroll early and participate in spring practice. So for them, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it is a definitely got to be a challenge to the coaching staff to kind of bring these guys along. But, you know, I've definitely heard some good things about some of these young players. Caleb Downs, a freshman safety who's come in. I think there are a lot of high hopes for him for sure. You know, there are a lot of guys who have got a chance to step in and play. Saban himself at Pro Day said that, you know, they need a quick impact from the freshman class. He was quite clear on that. So, you know, these guys are going to have an opportunity to step in and jump in the fire pretty quickly.
What are you hearing on the quarterback race?
Zip. And I think that's the way Nick Saban wants it. you know, I do think there's some excitement in the program around what Jalen Milroe can do with his feet, especially with Tommy Reese's style of, as an offensive coordinator coming in from Notre Dame. Tommy Reese likes to run a game, and it's a lot easier to run the football when you've got a quarterback who can run the football himself. So, yeah, I definitely think that Milroe's got a great chance to be somebody who would assimilate well into Reese's offense. But, you know, Saban, of course, is at least public anyway, has been very tight-lipped about that quarterback battle and will be for the balance of spring, summer, and probably fall camp too.
Chase, the transfer window is about to open, and you know, when you have a class like this, you probably don't think in terms of too many needs, but do you think Saban will be out there shopping at all?
I won't be surprised if Alabama picks up another transfer or two. They did that last year late with the kid from Louisville, the wide receiver, Tyler Steen, came in, I think, last spring as well. So they may be looking to do that, and they may lose some guys, right? Because if you're the loser of the Jalen Milroe, Ty Simpson quarterback battle, you may want to look to move on. That's just the way of the world at that quarterback position now. There's a great deal of movement. Guys want to play. Only one quarterback can be on the field at a time. So it can go both ways. But you're right. That window opens, I think, on the 15th. So I guess here in a little more than a week, and it closes on the 30th, which gives, at least in Alabama's case, that would give players roughly a week after A-Day to make up their minds if they want to stay or go.
Chase, I realize we're in a different world now, but that 2 weeks, how does that really change much for the coaching staff other than having to be glued to their phone, which they're glued to anyway, aren't they?
They are. I think it does change some things. You know, that transfer portal window originally was in May, and the NCAA decided to move it back to the last half of April. And, you know, it gives the players a chance coming out of spring practice to make a decision about their futures. But I think the December to January portal window is the one where we're going to see on a regular basis, we're going to see a lot more activity. You saw it with Alabama in December. Quite a few players decided to enter the portal. They picked a couple of them up, but I think most of the roster movement you're going to see is going to be in that winter window, December to January, as soon as the football season ends. But this spring window, although I anticipate less activity in general in that window, you're also going to see some guys that can really play coming out of there, because they're going to be the ones who I think in a lot of cases are going to be looking to hook on with somewhere they can play right away. And in a lot of cases, probably will have just lost a tight position battle.
Chase, before you go, and I know that really since 2008, Alabama's been expected to win the national championship every year in the preseason. That's highly unlikely to be the case this year. So help us better understand what the mindset is. I realize we're going through a transition here with a lot of young players, but the expectations are usually still the same, are they not?
They really don't change, and Nick Saban's brought those expectations on with his own success. And so, that's something that he's not going to be able to get away from for as long as he's Alabama's coach. At the same time, I think Alabama can be a better team than people expect too. You've got, I think with Bryce Young and Will Anderson and some of the talents that are moving on, I think, I hesitate to use the word sleeper, but I do think that the expectations on Alabama football are going to be a little bit lower than normal. But, you know, you got to wait and see what they put on the field in the fall. There's going to be a lot of new faces, a lot of potential breakout stars, and you never know what's going to happen.
Chase Goodred joining us from Tuscaloosa. We appreciate it very much. We head to the break. More of your phone calls coming in right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and David is up next as we begin the final half hour of the afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I'm just flabbergasted on what the Alabama fans are thinking of what they're going to do with the football season. The fact that they've lost the quarterback who is a Heisman Trophy, NFL potential number one draft pick, and they've got nothing right now. I mean, has the quarterback system diminished in the past, like, 18 months that you don't need a high-caliber quarterback? Because what I'm hearing them say is, well, we're going to run the ball, we're going to control the ball. That's not going to get it done. And then last year they also had a deficit of not having the top-tier wide receiver like an Amari Cooper. That was a deficit, and it caused them a potential game or two last year. So they haven't filled that gap either. So how are they going to be better this year than 2022? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, David, because I was listening to Goodred a minute ago, and, I mean, he's just reporting what he sees and hears, but I didn't understand the logic. And, you know, Alabama is still expected to win the national championship with what?
Exactly. But what's crazy, I looked at their schedule. Their hardest games last year were on the road, except for A&M.
Right.
All those are home games this year.
True.
So they could still maybe get through undefeated or only one loss, just because I don't see an NFL caliber quarterback returning that they're going to face. And I don't know about the LSU quarterback, but, you know, like, Ole Miss has lost their quarterback, Florida lost their quarterback, Tennessee lost their quarterback. So if the quarterback position is so important, which I think we could all agree on that, who are they going up against?
Yeah, I mean, this may sound crazy to some people, but I think one of their – maybe there might be their toughest game of the year is at Texas A&M, a team that lost seven games.
I don't disagree. And it's a magical place. LSU went in there and lost because A&M, they're going to bring 100,000 people, whether they got 10 wins or four.
Now, the Auburn game, I know it's always a very difficult game, and that's even in good years for – Alabama and bad years for Auburn. I don't think I can buy that quite yet, but that I think is what's fueling Alabama right now. That they are Alabama. That's always the number one thing. They have Nick Saban, and the schedule is not a backbreaker like last year. I don't think.
I agree. I think Nick Saban is the GOAT, and if it weren't the GOAT, they wouldn't have been 10-2 last year.
No,
they would have been worse than that. But you know, we've talked.
Well,
about
you know, I would say Nick Saban may have had less to do with that than Bryce Young.
Anyway, I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I don't. I mean, Bryce Young won them a couple of games, and he brought them back against Texas, which looked like a loss. He got them going against Ole Miss, and the other game that they won at the end. What was the other game? Texas A&M. He was not in that game, so he was not a factor there. Let's continue with more phone calls here and check in with Catherine in Florida. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Paul. I'm so happy to talk to you twice this week. But
thank you.
My goodness, the sports events have just been awesome, and we've had such great things to see, especially with the girls and the boys basketball. But we're watching, and I was surprised, we're watching the Masters on ESPN, and I didn't know that they had ever televised it on that. Because usually we watch the golf channel before the weekend, but
Yeah, Catherine, it used to be the first two rounds until about 5 years ago were on USA, and then ESPN started covering it a couple of years ago on Thursday and Friday.
Oh, well, then I guess I sort of missed it. But anyway, then I was surprised I see Marty Smith on there today, and he's doing interviews. I'm thinking, my God, this guy, is there anything that he doesn't know about? He's like a talking encyclopedia of sports.
No, he is the leading expert on everything. Other than Mike Greenberg.
I tell you, he's looking good, too, today. He's all dressed up, man, a suit, and looking real spiffy.
Well, you don't show up at the at Augusta National wearing wearing hand-me-downs.
No, I don't think so. But,
what was the name of that
song?
Don't
gosh.
Give Me No Handyman. Was that Guess Who?
Yes.
Okay.
It's awfully beautiful over there, I tell you. The grounds and everything, and it's just nice to see something real positive. And yesterday the par three was great. The golfers were having so much fun. I mean, just so relaxed. And what was
great. I was watching TV this morning, and they had the ceremonial first hit with Gary Player
and Jack Nicklaus.
I mean, I realize time marches on, Catherine, but you show your age when you grow up as a young kid watching Jack Nicklaus, and suddenly he's, what, 85?
I mean, yeah.
And he can barely walk up to that. I mean, it was like, man, you always hear, where did life go? But that was maybe the worst I've ever felt seeing that.
I felt very sad also when I saw that, because we used to go to the golf tournament years ago. It was called the Citrus Open.
Oh, sure.
In Rio Pinar.
Right.
And before it was the Bay Hill. So we saw all of these guys in their prime. I mean, you know, Chichi Rodriguez.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely.
Lee Trevino. But the course and everything is just beautiful. And
no, it so, is. I mean, Augusta is, a lot of it is theatrics, and I don't mean to diminish it because it's as beautiful there, right. But the presentation is unlike anything else because it's managed well. There's the music. It's also the most important thing people don't think about, Catherine, but it's the official beginning of spring all over the country. You don't have to think about that being down in Florida, but if you're up north, all of a sudden you see sunshine and you see flowers blooming and green.
Yes,
and if you're in Minnesota or Boston, you're going, man, they're through with the winter. And you know, thanks for the call. That's the disadvantage of Florida. You never realize that the rest of us are going through terrible things. Now, having said all that, the weather in Augusta is about to be terrible. It's supposed to rain all day tomorrow and Saturday. And speaking of that, I was in California in January. It's the worst weather I've ever seen. I talked to a friend of mine in LA today, Rick, and it has it stopped raining finally?
It's absolutely gorgeous now.
Okay,
that is all behind us, and if you look at the weather trend coming up, it's going to probably be Thanksgiving before we see another drop of rain. But everything's green. Everything's beautiful. It's like driving through Ireland around here, man.
But it's been pretty bad, though.
Right now. Well, I mean, I love it. But, you know, most people, to the typical Californian, it's miserable. It's, you know, you got potholes everywhere. The hills are falling. And now they're saying because of all this rain and all this growth, that's all going to dry out, and then the fires are going to affect everything.
Okay.
So you can't win out here, bro.
No, that's why you live in California.
That's right. Well, I've got other reasons I live here. But here's the thing, to your point on Alabama, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, what the heck is he talking about?
I really did not understand it.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I'm seeing three losses this year. And then it's not because I'm your typical, you know, doom and gloom guy, as I've always been known. But, I mean, it's right there in front of you, okay? You're replacing the quarterback, number one, with a totally unproven quarterback. And then your offensive and defensive lines are less than, you know, stellar. There's nothing special about them. And let's not even talk about the wide receivers. There's no Ridley, Waddle, there's no Mechie, there's none of those. I mean, you have some talent. but there's nothing proven. The running back's gone, so you got some decent running backs, pretty good running backs, but you can't rely on just the running game. And then on defense, you lost all three leaders and most of your production. So, I think this is, it's going to be a very lean year for Alabama. That's not to say that Nick's done. I think Alabama will be right back in the hunt in 2024, 2025. But I can tell you right now, this team, even with the schedule and the home games, I agree with you 100%. I think A&M is going to be a rough game if Alabama gets out of that. They barely won at home against a crappy LSU.
The last 2 years, that game has changed dramatically. And because I lived there for so long, Rick, it is too early to tell, but he's the second or third reporter we've talked to, and nobody knows anything. I wonder why.
Well, like he said, Saban keeps that all close to the vest.
Yeah, but Rick, these guys are reporters. They're supposed to find out what's going on.
I get it. You didn't have a lot to tell us, but I mean, you don't really need, if you're an Alabama fan, you can tell, and there's some concerns. There's no, there is no Deron Payne or type defensive lineman, and your offensive line is nowhere near what it was in the Saban heyday. So, I think it's going to be a rough year. I just wanted to get that in. So I appreciate you taking my call, buddy.
I mean, am I already hearing Kentucky basketball here? Wait till next year. I mean, we're not even at the spring game yet. I have a feeling I know what the story of the spring and the summer is going to be. I forgot. I did not feel comfortable with AJ getting battered by a legend, so I let that call go. But apparently AJ wants some more.
No, I certainly appreciate your aristocracy, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you.
I would like to rebuttal to the guy that his name starts with an L. He refers to himself as Elvis. And Elvis wrote a song, Paul, and it goes a little something like this. Oh, boy. I'll have a blue Christmas without you. And that's what we're all going to have, is a blue Christmas without the legend himself. The loser legend. Let me explain something to you, legend. You got me a while ago, but I'm going to get you right now. You're not a baller. You're not a shot caller. All you are is an infant baby Feinbaum caller. That's all you are anymore. You got beat down like a clown. You know what you got to live for this year coming up in 2023 with Alabama football legend? All you can do is be the new Georgia. The new Georgia. I love you, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
That was before dinner. I had to hear that. We will take a break and come back. Final few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.